Up next, Al Norstrup. He has served South Dakota's legislature since 2003. He's a Republican. He represents District 3. And this year he is running for state Senate. He's joining us on the phone from Aberdeen. Al Norstrup, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Lori. How are you today?
I am doing well. And how are you, sir?
Having a great day. Yes.
Great. All right. Tell us a little bit about yourself, because you also have a business background.
I do. But before we do that, let me thank you for what you do. This is a great service for the voters and allows them to meet the candidates, allows them to understand the differences, and elections matter. And there's always going to be differences, and it gives us a great chance to present our case and ask for the vote of the voters as we go forward. But telling you a little bit about myself, grew up in northeast South Dakota on a farm. My father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, we're all farmers. They've been in South Dakota for over 100 years. We've got South Dakota values, and those South Dakota values are hard work, helping your neighbor, just being a member of the community and doing what you can for other people. My dad was my role model. My dad would volunteer in the community days and weeks, just pure volunteerism, which was just amazing. We don't see that very much nowadays. It's times have changed, but that's what I learned from my dad, was volunteering in the community. Hmm. So a longtime resident of Aberdeen, have been involved in the community, have been involved in Salvation Army, my church, and other community groups. So.
And what are some of the top issues that you think are the priorities should voters decide to send you back to Pierre?
Well, and I'd love to talk about that, but let me finish up a little bit more about myself,
sure.
If I could.
Sure.
I'm a small businessman in Aberdeen. Started a computer company that did sales and service and computer training for 18 years, and we employed about 10 people. My wife, Kathy, and I ran that business and had an opportunity to sell it and start a different business. The new business that we're involved with, actually new, and we've been doing it for 24 years, is we've been doing family entertainment. We've got 8 family members that work it. It's a 2-generation business. We're hoping for the 3rd generation. It looks optimistic that we will be able to have 3 generations working in the business soon. So it's given me a great opportunity that we enjoy in America, the United States, that to have that freedom and have that prosperity. And just a wonderful thing. And currently working on creating a 3rd business, and it's real exciting that what we're working on, and we're not ready to release a lot of information, but we expect to create 30 new jobs in the Aberdeen area soon.
Hmm. Excellent. All right. And I've spent many a summer afternoon enjoying some family entertainment through your vision. So thank you for all those fun days with my family as well. So give us a little idea of some of those top issues. We should make sure we get to that before we run out of time.
Well, thank you. I've always been a bulldog for open government. I'm a big believer in that. The government is there to serve the people, and not the other way around. And so, as an advocate of open government, I was involved in quite a few battles involving trying to make the government more open and transparent. In 2012, the South Dakota Newspaper Association gave me what's called the Eagle Award. It's a once-a-year award. It's a very prestigious award, and it honored me for protecting the people's right to know, is what the plaque says. And basically, the way I was able to, the reason they chose to honor me with that award was I was involved in a battle with the group called the James River Water Development District, and they refused to give up some of their financial information. In other words, they would pay bills with government money, with the taxpayers' money, and then refused to tell the taxpayers what they spent the money on. And I ended up actually winning that battle with them. And through that battle, we got a $50 per day penalty through state law for any bureaucrat who refuses to give a citizen financial information that belongs to the public. So that's been my passion in the legislature, is to say to government, you report to the people, and you will be held accountable by a $50 per day fine if you do not tell the people what they have a right to know.
There's more work to be done on that, do you think, for open government in South Dakota? What would be next for you that you would focus on there?
there's definitely work to be done. The big breakthrough was approximately 10 years ago. Everything, what state law said was, everything is closed and unable to be accessed by the public unless state law specifically says it's open. And we, about 10 years ago, the legislature, myself included, turned that upside down. And what we said was, everything is open except those things that the legislature deems to be closed. For example, we have closed the police officer's home address. We don't think the public has a right to know where a police officer lives. To answer your question, what needs to be done? There's a lot being done with contracts between cities and counties and contractors, and those contracts have not been open as they need to be. And there's been agreements made that have not been open to the public. So much to be done yet, yes.
Let's talk about education a little bit. That's one of the issues that's important to you. What are some of the next steps there that you think need to be done for South Dakota's, technical education, higher education? Where do you want to begin?
Well, and it's a great question, and the answer is it's all important. K through 12 is important. Votech is extremely important. That's the way we create electricians and plumbers and welders, and we need those people in our world to make it work. And obviously, with me having Northern in my background or my backyard, that too is vital to future economic growth. It's a future. It's vital to happiness of the family. It's vital to the success of the family. So, what we've done recently is attempt to raise teacher salaries. I think the next thing that needs to be looked at is we created a new formula. And I think the new formula is working well for the larger cities, and I think it's failing in the smaller cities. So the smaller towns, I think we need to go back and look at the formula and see if we can do something to better support the small schools in the small towns.
Hmm. There seems to be an appetite for that as well, too, don't you think, from a lot of returning lawmakers and new candidates. I'm hearing that a lot in conversations, that formula needs to be keyed in on, especially for those small towns.
Well, for the large towns to prosper, the small towns need to stay there. And right. So we need to do what we can to help them.
So let me ask you this. As a business owner, when you, kind of turn your attention toward a new business, then you also have to figure out how you're going to find those employees and what sorts of legislative, solutions are there to some of the challenges of finding that workforce?
Well, I think the government's role in that is to educate the citizens. In other words, provide me with a person who has the basic skills of reading, writing, arithmetic, computer, and beyond that, just some common sense skills as to how to treat people. So number one, what government can do is educate students. And then the rest is up to me. My job as an employer is to provide a environment that the employee feels good about, to pay a fair wage, and to treat people with respect and give them flexibility in their job. So it's a partnership. As an employer, I've got responsibility, and the government's got a responsibility, and we both need to work together to make this happen.